Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up with good vibes and variety.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. We gotta do that.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3.
Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Sarah's out. Mason's in. That guy, was he out at Bottle Rock? I think he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
I saw him on Friday. He was excellent.
Who came out? Somebody came out on stage with him, though.
I'm not sure who it was, but they were amazing also.
I forget. Well, anyway, yeah, that guy was out there. And if you were out...
Teddy Swims.
Yeah, if you were out at Bottle Rock, I made a post of some of the pictures I took with people. Turns out you can only post 20 pictures to your post when you do that, like whatever they call that.
The carousel.
Carousel. 20. So I'm sorry if any of the pictures that I took, if you looked and you're like, hey, I'm not in here, it's 20. That's all you get.
I got it mistaken. Teddy Swims crashed Papa Roach's show.
That's what it was.
And that, I'm so sad I miss Papa Roach. Oh.
Speaking of shows, Bruno Mars tickets right now. Woo! Take this code word, please, PLEASE, to RadioAlice.com to win a pair of tickets for Bruno Mars on October 10th at Levi's Stadium. Again, take the word please, PLEASE, to RadioAlice.com, and you can listen later today at 12:05 and 5:05 for more chances to win. This hour's code word is please, courtesy of Live Nation. That's for Bruno Mars tickets. Go to RadioAlice.com. And now we go to Mason for trash. Trash us.
Sydney Sweeney is selling her bathwater. Mm.
Didn't she already do this?
I thought she did.
Did she?
Yeah, she sold like soap with her bathwater.
Oh, that's what she's doing. She's teamed up with a men's grooming company for a soap collab. By jokes about fans wanting her bathwater. The internet, yeah, they lost their minds with people debating whether it's genius marketing or the official end of society.
Huh. Is she doing another round?
I guess so. She made a comment recently, too, about how she wanted a breast reduction back in the day, and her mother convinced her not to, and she was very glad because she calls them her best friends now, which to that I say, I don't think you'd have a career if you did not have your boobies.
Oh.
I've never really seen what she does, but I think she's stunning.
The movie Christie, where she played, you know, the boxer from West Virginia, she was great.
Really?
Like she's a good actress. Like I on Euphoria, like I think she's great. Yeah. I've been watching this new season, and
I'm not a fan.
I take it back. I saw her in The Housemaid.
Yes. Yeah.
She was in that, and she was good in that. So yeah, I have seen her do things. Anyway, I knew someone, everyone, you all know her, but she worked on this show and she had really big ones, and she discussed, a lot of people I've heard discuss getting that reduction, and it's scarring, but I think that the people who do it end up happy because it's a lot to carry around.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of weight. It's a lot of weight.
She had like another person.
Also, apparently, I was actually surprised by this because I was judging her a little bit. I didn't realize she's as bright as she is. She was evidently valedictorian of her school. She went to UCLA. I was surprised. I did not.
Why were you surprised?
The way she speaks. She seems a little slow.
She seems slow, like in interviews?
Just a little bit. I don't know. I don't like her speech pattern. Like, she just seems like, I don't like people who talk really slow, though.
I would think, because we just talked about it yesterday, my daughter's in drama, and I'm scared for her to be in that business. I think that business is heartbreaking and difficult, and it's really challenging to navigate. and you might get a gig and be like, I'm doing it. I've got a job. But how many people do you see go away after that gig and never come back? Or they're still grinding 15 years later to get back and ultimately don't. And it's like, ah, what a tough business. If you're making it in that business, you got to have something, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the industry as a whole, I mean, I've been hearing actors complain left and right. Even people who you would normally see on TV shows, they're losing their jobs to Nicole Kidman, big actors who are now going to TV.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those characters, actors that, you know, you see everywhere, you might not know their name, but you're like, oh, it's that guy.
Right.
They're struggling to find roles. I mean, it's the same thing of like, you know, a lot of hosts for things are now comedians. It's just, they might hire someone to be a game show host that doesn't, I mean, that's their thing, you know, and now they're hiring people with other skill sets because they're looking elsewhere because of their field.
You'd think with all of the entertainment and all of the streaming and all of the shows that none of us can even kind of keep up with, that there'd be more than enough work for everybody, and yet still crying poor. It's crazy.
It sounds like everybody, for the most part, except for those millionaires, are struggling to some extent. Although I do love, what did Jeff Bezos say recently? He goes, it's so awful that, you know, a nurse who makes $75,000 has to pay $10,000 in taxes. And I was like, yeah, that's what we've been saying. Pay more, Jeffrey.
I didn't hear that quote. That's, he should definitely zip it.
Sounds like maybe he was planning on, he might run for something. It sounds like he was pandering a bit.
Oh, and okay.
Maybe he's got some political.
I was reading that the wife of his, who was some kind of a reporter at one point, she was in the media. Laura, is it Laura Sanchez? I can't think of her name, but either
Bezos?
Way.
Bezos?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, Laura Sanchez.
Okay, she was saying that he's got to do a better job with his own PR. Like, he's quietly a hated dude, mega rich, and she was, like, behind him saying, you should get out in front of this, and I'm sure it's for her benefit as well. You marry someone who's hated, that kind of sucks, right?
I mean, they had thousands of people protest their wedding.
Yeah.
Well, and the Met Gala people were upset.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just read that story this morning that she's behind him saying, can you do some interviews and actually do some PR for yourself? I don't know if we'll see that, but what you just said isn't good PR.
No, it's not.
Being that rich and...
Well, his ex-wife, the amount of money that she gives away and helps, when you have that much money, I mean, even if you're an egomaniac, like, can you imagine, like, ending world hunger? You have that in your capability, and you're not doing more good with it? Like, you could be, you want to be worshipped and adored? Go do something huge like that.
His ex-wife is incredibly impressive. Really impressive, yeah. Lord, what is her name? Mackenzie?
Yes, Mackenzie.
Kenzie Scott something? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, she's doing really good work. Okay.
Dakota Johnson and Chris Martin are once again fueling breakup rumors after fans noticed that they haven't been photographed together recently.
Wait, who?
Dakota Johnson.
And who?
And Chris Martin.
They broke up a long time
That's
ago.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, they've been broken up for months.
They're saying that they have been back together and that they hadn't been, and that this is the 900th breakup rumor surrounding them.
I didn't hear that they got back together.
I guess that was never real to begin with. That's what...
The breakup was never real.
I'm always interested to hear. I feel like you can't just say a source says. Who are these sources? Is it a cleaning lady? Is it a driver? I want to know, because otherwise I feel like it just comes out and you can just make up whatever you want. Make up whatever you want.
But also, it is true that people's PR teams will say to a particular news outlet, like, here, this is from an anonymous source, but this is what's happening.
Gotcha.
Like, to get the information out there.
I do think it's weird, and yet it's expected and should be known that people are invested in celebrities' careers and follow them. And if you're in a relationship, they see you together. And it's... You have to be careful how you put out the press releases and all that stuff, because you don't want to have your audience kind of turn on you, whatever that gig might be that you do.
There's no doubt that a famous person dating another famous person is interesting, and like that fuels both of your careers.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that if there's something out there that you've got to be broken up and someone's trying to move on, you've got to put out a press release and handle that carefully. It's a thing.
Have your PR people look it over, Weston, Amanda.
For real. Drake has 42 songs on the Hot 100 this week, including the number one song, Janice, STFU. That's the most simultaneous songs on the chart by an artist in history, which I think means he just surpassed Michael Jackson.
Isn't there a story that Drake is in trouble for sort of somehow manipulating the charts? Like he has bots playing his music all over the place. Is that
sounds familiar. Something with Spotify.
I can't remember. Sarah would know, but she's not here.
Sorry.
No, I think she told me a story like that at one point. So
there are two notable class action lawsuits filed in 2025 involving Drake and Spotify. Drake himself is not the defendant in either case, but his streams are the focal point. The claim is that on behalf of artists and rights holders, there's streaming fraud going on, basically.
And also Drake alleged that his own music group used bots to boost Kendrick Lamar, Not Like Us, which I, you know, is a smash banger. Everybody, like anybody, people don't have to like rap and love that song. But that was one of his allegations. Remember when he was suing his own record label?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had not heard that either, but any Drake fans here?
I like his Drake music.
Back in the day.
You like it?
I like his music.
Okay.
I loved him on Degrassi.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I like it when he acts better, probably, than he sings.
Hotline Bling.
I love Hotline Bling.
Okay.
I mean, that song's going down in history somewhere deep in the internet.
Okay.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The All-American Rejects are calling out the music industry for astronomical concert costs, stating that headlining artists need to take blame instead of just pointing fingers at corporations like Ticketmaster. They are arguing that huge headliners have the ultimate power over their ticket structures and that they shouldn't set a lifestyle of extravagance that forces fans to drain their bank accounts. I mean, how much was a concert ticket in the early 90s?
$20.
$20.
Yeah, I mean, you could, I still have friends in radio who post old ticket stubs, and they probably got them, the tickets for free, but the price is listed.
Yeah.
$13.50 or, you know, $20, whatever. But that was a lot of money then, though. You would definitely be like, oh, I got to save up. I was a kid. I didn't have dough.
Did artists play stadiums back then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Beatles' last show was in
here.
Yeah, Candlestick Park.
Mm-hmm. But I think like Beatles, yes. But I don't think the smaller artists were doing, you know, as big of. Post Malone was having a hard time with his stadium tour, which was called what,
the big ass stadium tour,
and then they couldn't sell tickets to the show.
Well, look, I'll give you an example. I wasn't in radio. I had nothing to do with. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about it yet. But I was working for a ticket agent. Who during the 80s, it was Prince Purple Rain Tour, Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA Tour. These were mega tours. They were impossible to get tickets for. This was before you could buy stuff online, obviously. So we would go and spend the night. I'd bring friends. She'd give me a bunch of money and we'd each buy the max 6 tickets each. And then we'd give them to her and she would sell them at, you know, some inflated price. but it was, that was the only way to game the system back then, was that way. But sure, Prince, Purple Rain, it owned the 80s.
Yeah, but now it's not, like, yes, obviously scalpers, bots are a big issue, but even the upfront ticket prices are incredibly expensive.
Right.
That's why Harry Styles is under so much fire, because his tickets were, the face value was really high, and people are going to be more critical of, are you providing a performance and an experience worth that price when it cost me $300 to get in the door after, you know, going through the whole
Ticketmaster
thing.
But on the flip side, most artists these days aren't making the money on music like they used to.
No.
They're only making money touring.
That's
so
one of the best points you can add to the conversation, which is record sales are non-existent.
Yeah.
None. Zero. I pay that, you know, I was buying records still, and Sarah would go, you just pay the monthly fee and then you have all the records, Vin. What are you doing? And eventually I went, I'm a donkey.
Well, there is something to be said to owning something physical, because Spotify goes down tomorrow and you won't have it.
Which reminds me of something that makes me very angry.
Oh, this will be good.
Thank you so much for letting me rant. I realize I'm a very angry person every time I get on here. Did you know that when you buy a movie on Amazon or any service that you're purchasing, that you do not own that movie?
Yes.
And that if they take it out of their collection, you no longer have it. And so if you spent $25 on a movie and you go to buy it, nope, you just have you're basically leasing it.
Yeah.
Which makes me very angry, because I thought to myself, I was like, I know I bought this. What happened to it?
No, whatever service that you are a member of, in the case of the cable company, Xfinity, I own a lot of movies and I've been with Xfinity forever. But if I were to quit them, those movies wouldn't come with me.
When I moved to Dallas, they didn't have Xfinity. And right. So I lost a bunch of stuff. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be smart. I'll buy them on Amazon. I'll have them forever. Not the case.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I thought once, like an Amazon service, I think is pretty safe to say they'll be around.
But if it's all about licensing, because, you know, a lot of movies, they'll be like, oh, it's going from Netflix. It's going. And they move from different venues. It's BS is what it is. One way of keeping
people, like young people now, I'm hearing, I'm not around young people. Bob
Hello,
might know.
Us. don't look at me like that.
That you hear people buying physical media,
yep.
And it's a kind of a trend among young people because they'll actually own it. So,
yep.
iPods
are coming back. I kind of want one.
You can buy those too, by the way. They are, like, I don't know who bought them all up, but someone bought them all up and they're available online. So you can get an iPod.
I kind of want to get a VHS player because I have a movie that I really want to watch on there.
I have lots of VHS tapes I'll give you if you get a VHS player.
Okay.
Yeah. I keep everything.
That's the problem. And as soon as you get rid of it, like I like clothing and stuff. Oh, it's back again? Cool. I just got rid of everything.
My wife got so angry every time we moved, because I have about 2,000 CDs and crates that I keep moving and keep putting in storage, and I won't get rid of them because I don't know.
2,000?
Yeah.
Wow, I kept one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That seems excessive. How much are you paying for storage alone?
I pay for storage.
Okay, so you make poor financial choices as well. Good to know.
Yeah, you're renting the things you own. Okay.
Emily in Paris star Pierre Denis apparently just passed away at the age of 69 after a sudden and severe ALS battle that just came out this morning at about...
A sudden and severe ALS battle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that was a thing either. I thought it was a slow that's sad. Which one was he? Pierre Denis. I haven't watched the show in a while, but I know it's quite popular. Oh, it's this good-looking older gentleman.
I've never seen Emily in Paris, but Sarah has said that she loves it.
This is the last season.
It is the last season. Oh, which reminds me, I meant to talk about it yesterday, or did we talk about it with Tom Hardy and
Moblins? We talked about it on the break,
I think we talked about it break, and we didn't talk about it on air, that season 3 Mobland on Paramount Plus with Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, same thing. They're in the same thing, football. And I guess he was not getting along with executive producers, and they have ousted him. And he's a very, I would have thought I had job security. I'm Tom Hardy. I'm a big part of this show. He was the main character, basically. So I don't know how they're going to do that going forward.
Mm. I love him.
I do, too. I like him a lot. Inception, big fan. Big fan.
Peaky Blinders.
I need to watch that. What were we? Where were we? I just lost my spot. Oh, Russell Crowe would like to know why anyone would have a problem with the way he handled the autograph seekers in the viral video from the other day. We talked about that briefly yesterday.
We did. So what did he do? He yelled at them and said he won't sign their stuff.
TMZ had his big headline that was like, he blew up at them. Well, number one, they weren't fans. They were autograph hounds, which
right.
Those are the people who get autographs as a living and sell them.
I have a friend who has made a fortune
really?
From autographs, mostly from astronauts. And he pretends to be charities. He does all kinds of things to get in and get these autographs.
Straight to hell.
And he's made a living off of this.
You cannot say you're with a charity. Oh my God, the karma for that.
He's not a good dude, I will say.
Horrible.
Yeah, you know, I understand that these celebrities and athletes go through this too, where they find themselves walking out of an appearance or doing something, and there's someone lined up with 50 things, and they'll just try to get as many of them signed as possible. And the athletes have gotten wise to it and realize, I'm not getting paid on any of this stuff. This isn't a kid asking you to autograph a T-shirt or something. It's a dude in business,
and
like your buddy.
My friends that are played in the NFL and do autographs, that's how they make a lot of money after they retire is doing autographs. They'll always make sure you get the name on there. So what's your name? And they put the name on it plus their signature because it's not as valuable. It's not as valuable. It's just a signature.
Okay,
exactly.
Michael.
Yeah, give me your name.
That's interesting. Well, is it still like a booming business? And I feel like that might be something that people wouldn't. And it's easy to forge. Like, I feel like I could go say, this is Vinny's signature. I could get some tracing paper and I could really go to town and make some. That's not a bad idea.
You know, one of the things I think that's in among the general public is that the selfie has replaced the autograph. And rightfully so. Like, what are you going to do with some dude's name on a napkin? You know, like you had a bump, you bumped into somebody, whoever, Sean Penn, whatever, and you've got whatever you got. Can you sign this? Yeah, you got a napkin with Sean Penn's name on it. There's no point personally for you to keep that. But if you get a picture, that's kind of cool, right?
I actually even think that the picture, I totally understand why people want it, but for me, I'd rather have that moment of talking with somebody
than
a picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a connection.
That's kind of how I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. That's kind of how I feel about concerts too. I would rather meet a celebrity for like 2 minutes than go sit in a nosebleed section to see them perform when I could listen to their CD or something in my car.
Oh,
their CD, you know what
interesting.
I mean?
I don't agree with that. I mean,
I know you
the
don't.
Music
yeah.
is a whole experience, but you're also creating connections with all the people around you when you're at a concert.
I was telling Maddie that I was like, my memory is so bad that I forgot like some of the concerts I've even been to. I was like, oh, I should go to Justin Bieber. I've already been to
but
Justin Bieber, and I forgot.
Your soul remembers.
It didn't.
What is your favorite show that you've ever been to? And you are in the radio business, so we're judging you.
Okay, there's probably two or three of my favorite concerts.
I love this.
Are not ones you would
this.
Expect. Okay, one of them was Michael Bublé.
Did he do all the Christmas songs?
I don't remember. He just was incredibly charming. Like, he just was funny.
You don't remember?
I don't remember if he did specific songs. I don't think he did Christmas, but he was incredibly charming and just funny and just...
He lit up the room.
He did.
Were you there with, like, a date?
I was with a guy friend of mine and a couple of girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I did get the tickets for free through work. And then I saw Neil Diamond with my dad.
Aw.
You are a lounge lizard, aren't you?
I grew up listening to, like, Neil Diamond and the Kingston Trio and... I'm trying to think who else. Peter, Paul, and Mary. And that's what I listened to grow up. I didn't listen to Madonna. I mean, I listened to Madonna, but not like other kids or New Kids on the Block. I listened to what my parents listened to, the Supremes and, you know, oldies and Otis Redding.
What's yours been?
Well, I've seen a million shows, and I'm really grateful for all of them. What stands out to me, I'll give you a couple. I went to go see Muse and was like,
I was at that show.
Meh. I don't know. I'll check it out. It'll be fine. I like them. They're fine. They're decent. And that English dude, the guitar player, what's his name? Bellamy? Oh, yeah. Matthew Bellamy, I believe. Yeah. The lead singer of Muse is a freaking rock god. And I say that having seen, I don't know, 200 to 500 shows. That dude took my head clean off. I've never seen anything like it.
In a good way.
In a great way. They were amazing. I love Muse. Now.
Yeah.
Going in, I was up, meh.
I was exactly the same way at that show. I was like, I knew the songs from the radio, but like when they came out, it's one of those bands. Some bands come out and you're just like, oh, this is good.
I went into that with like Imagine Dragons and I was impressed with them that they did a great job.
And yeah, I didn't know what to expect. And that stadium show, like they rocked that stick. And I guess we were at the same show then.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a Live 105 thing.
Yeah, that's when I worked there.
Another one that I saw recently that kind of took my head off and I didn't know what to expect was Blurry Face. Who's that?
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots. I couldn't believe it. I went into that one kind of going, meh. And they owned that stadium in a way that I can't even believe they were good enough to like he worked the whole stadium. Everybody there got to see them. And I just felt like that was, I mean, of course I could say old Metallica shows.
What was the most disappointing shows that you've been to? Because I have a bunch of those, which I think is what put a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, favorite shows. Let's finish that out.
Sorry.
Well, the year Kanye West was supposed to play at Coachella, he dropped out. And instead, I saw Swedish House Mafia transition into The Weeknd. And I'm not even a big Weeknd fan, but they took just such special care with the transition, and it was amazing.
My favorite show was Nine Inch Nails and David Bowie, and they did the same thing. Nine Inch Nails, the band one at a time left, and Bowie came on and started singing with Trent, and eventually it became a Bowie show.
That's really cool.
I got cold chills talking about it.
It
was like,
that sounds this is very historic. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds super cool. And I remember that too. They toured together. And it was like,
like 93, 94.
Yeah, it was way before his last, like Dark Star, I think was his last album. And that was way before
but
that.
But he did, I think, Closer with Trent and Hurt. And, it was great.
Okay, we got to take a break.
Yeah, we do.
We'll be back with news after these.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start your day off the right way.
Are you kidding me?
Spoiler alert.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Wake up
with Alice 97.3.
Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Sarah's out the rest of the week, but Mason's been in with us. You know her from middays here on Alice, and you're on in a few minutes again, aren't you?
That's right, I am.
All right.
Mason, all the time.
Blue skies overhead in downtown San Francisco, although you may see some clouds out there, and snow was reported yesterday and this morning in Tahoe, but today's high temp in the Bay Area should be about 70. Let's see here. Midday game for the Giants. They lost yesterday to the Diamondbacks, so they're down 2 of 3. They go again today at lunchtime. Go Giants.
Oh, really? What time?
12:45, I believe.
Oh, maybe I'll try to do that.
You should try to do that. It's nice. We have one of the best parks.
That's what I'm dying to see. It's beautiful.
So there's that. Let's see. I wanted to update you real quick on a couple stories I started with earlier today. There was the Nippon DynaWave Packaging Company had a tank containing hazardous liquids. It imploded yesterday. And there was one initial death and some injuries. 9 missing. They're now saying there's no hope for survivors. So that's the update.
Sad.
Terrible, terrible news out of Washington State, Longview, Washington. I wanted to do this, and then we'll get to the worst shows we've seen. Although I just...
Most disappointing.
Most disappointing.
Disappointing. High expectations.
I racked my brain and I'm coming up just, I keep thinking of shows and going, oh, the time I saw the Red Hots, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam before they'd even released records, the two Seattle bands, it was epic.
I saw Pearl Jam in Seattle before they were, or I think they were just
breaking.
I think. I mean, what year would you say? I think I saw them probably.
91? 90, 91.
Okay, then never mind. They were big already.
Okay. Yeah, that show that I saw, Pearl Jam opened and Eddie Vedder climbed into the rafters. Is the like way up into the raft, 50 feet in the air on an I-beam, just shuffling along, and they've got the spotlight on him, and he's telling him, throw me the mic. And I'm going, this guy's gonna die, and I don't even know who these people are yet. And then Nirvana comes out and I'm on stage. So this is back when radio was like, you could get around. And I'm on the stage watching Nirvana play, and I'm going, oh my God, these guys are amazing. And I just seen Pearl Jam kill. And right next to me is Eddie Vedder. This is like shoulder to shoulder. The dude that was just in the rafters, the dirty guy, is standing next to me. And I'm just going, oh, this is crazy. And then they went on to become obviously what they've become. Anyway, as I'm thinking about shows, those are the things that I think of.
Yeah, I was thinking about the opening act for Nine Inch Nails one time. It was nobody had heard of this band, and they were awesome. The guy takes off all his clothes and stage dives, and we were like, this is great. And it was Marilyn Manson. It was that very first tour that they were opening up. But like nobody knew who Marilyn Manson was. But after the show, you're like, all you did is talk about Marilyn Manson.
Right.
I mean, that's a performance, too. That's the difference, too. It's like you've got vocals, you've got performers, and you've got people who've got, you know, a big performance like a Lady Gaga or...
U2 puts on a huge show. That's a band I was thinking of. I saw Smashing Pumpkins, but they absolutely crushed. Mm. But the opening band was a band called Shudder to Think. Mm. And I don't know if they still play... But the guy came out, speaking of naked, he came out naked.
Completely,
completely naked, started singing, and the shoes that rained down on him, the people were waiting for the pumpkins, obviously, but I guess they couldn't take the nudity, and he just got pummeled with shoes. That might be the show, now that I think about it. I felt so bad for him. But
he didn't have to take his clothes off.
No, he didn't. And it was kind of not good, so I definitely walked away from that. That's probably
it. Put it away.
The worst show is Shudder to Think.
Their Instagram has about 7,000 followers, so I don't think they're doing much.
They didn't make it.
Yeah, I forgot about them. They were a DC band. I remember them.
Oh, you remember them?
I remember them from, yeah, we played them because I was in a market close to DC when I was a kid.
Well, I meant to do a story, and yet here we are doing this, so we might as well. Bob, what is your worst show?
Oh, I can't think of any.
I had the same
thing. I just keep thinking of ones that surprised me because they were so different or fun. Like one time at this EDM festival I go to, for some reason they always book a rapper, and the one year I went, it was T-Pain.
Ooh. T-Pain can sing. I would love to see T-Pain.
And he also did the auto-tune thing, and it was such a blast. And he was in this, full outfit, these big-ass jeans, and it was 85 degrees outside, and so he kept having to go off stage because he was sweating so much.
Right.
And eventually we started chanting, take your pants off, take your pants off. He's like, guys, I've been doing this a long time. Just because you chant, take your pants off, doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Unless somebody has, a size 46 shorts, lo and behold, a size 46 shorts gets passed up to the stage, and he literally drops his pants and changes them right there on stage.
Good. That is good. A big waste.
It was a blast.
That's cool.
46?
Yeah, it was something big
like
that.
He's a big boy.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's one of the few people that I actually would want to go see. Like, there's not a whole lot of people that I would, and he's on that list.
You know what? Something I saw, and I thought of it when you said this. It was actually at that same show with the Red Hots. When Anthony ran off stage, so he's, you know, this is Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're performing. He's rocking out. He's doing his whole thing. And a guitar player starts doing a solo, and he runs off stage, and he throws open this lid of what looks like a briefcase, and it's an oxygen tank.
Okay.
And he starts huffing oxygen. So he's like, gets himself like back to sort of a where he can go back out on stage and sing. I thought, that must be what they do when they run off stage. Maybe not, but it's what I saw him do.
Dang.
I can see it.
Yeah. I always see comments about Sabrina Carpenter's shows. She does these long video intro or video montages in the middle. And people are like, what's up with all the video montages? I'm like, that's because a girl's belting, dancing her booty off. She needs a second probably to chuck down some oxygen.
Yeah, I'd never seen it before. But now whenever someone runs off stage, I'm like, I get it. They're getting oxygen real quick.
That was Busta Rhymes at Bottle Rock. He just had to talk between songs a lot because...
Oh, is that why he was talking so much?
Because he's like...
I never realized.
Okay, man.
Whew. Yeah.
So tell me about your hopes and your dreams, audience, for about a good 10 minutes.
I actually noticed that at Lord. About 45 minutes in, I turned to my friend I was with and I said, she has not stopped singing since she came out here. She has not said one word. She went 45 straight minutes before she took a break.
But she's singing. She's not singing and dancing, right?
She's doing some sort of interpretive dance up there.
Okay.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
All right. I forgot to mention this real quick. Yeah. Bob's Movie Club is tomorrow, everyone. We're getting ready to get out of here. And Mason's going to be with you through the midday. 6 a.m. tomorrow, join us for Bob's Movie Club. This time around, the movie is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Get caught up on Paramount Plus and join us tomorrow at 6 a.m. and be ready to let us know what you think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off on Bob's Movie Club. I got to watch that. I got to get out of here and go watch that.
You'll be happy.
I remember it. It's good. I mean, it's really good.
It's a blast.
You've already watched it?
No, but I'm looking forward to it.
You're going
to
watch it today?
Oh, yeah.
And the reunion.
The reunion?
Summer House reunion.
Oh, I already watched it.
Oh, I thought you
watched
it
this morning. No.
Oh, okay.
I woke up early to watch it.
Didn't you say they're doing three parts?
Yes. Yeah, so next Tuesday, there'll be part two.
Oh, they're going to make you wait? All right.
And I think it'll actually be worth it, though. Usually when they break it up, it's like, okay, you could have made this into one.
I hope there's more that Amanda and Wes are going to say.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, so keep it here on Alice all day. We have your chance to win Bruno Mars tickets at 12:05 with Mason and 5:05 with Jane. Plus, Jane has 97 minutes of commercial-free music starting at 4 p.m. So stay with Alice all day, and we'll be back tomorrow morning to do more live radio for you. Sarah's back on Monday, but Mason's in, so... And thanks for being with us. The end.
Hey, Bay Area, good morning.
Coffee, please.
Wake up with Sarah and Vinny.
This is amazing!
Every morning on Alice.
97.3.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.